John chapter 8, verse number 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us as we look at truth this morning. We're going to look at lies, and we're going to look at truth. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to believe the truth, to listen to the truth, to understand that the words of Christ define truth. And Lord, I pray that you would bless our time together here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Over here in our front yard for the month of January, we've placed 1,000 white crosses. Each of those white crosses represent 60,000 unborn babies whose life was cut short, whose life was taken under the guise of something that the world terms as abortion. And we want to make a statement about that. The reason we do it in January is because on January 22nd, 1973, our Supreme Court, seven of the members of our Supreme Court, of the nine, voted that abortion should be legalized in the United States of America. Since then, 3,500 babies have been aborted. Think about this. Since then, 3,500 babies have been aborted every day since then on average. Over 60 million babies since Roe versus Wade, since the Supreme Court decision came down. Now, the reason that we lift up our voices about this, and I want you to really stay with me, I don't care what your political views are. If you're a Christian, you need to have a biblical view of these type of issues. And I understand what I'm going to say isn't deemed politically correct, but I would rather be biblically correct than politically correct. And we have to understand that abortion, this issue of abortion, is a battle between truth and lies. And if you listen to the liberal media or you've gone to the state university, they've tried to convince you to have a liberal viewpoint of these things. We're bombarded with it all the time. We're made to feel as if good is evil and evil is good. But the Bible doesn't change. And Jesus said in this portion of Scripture, he said that, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then he spoke this, "Ye are of your father the devil, the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning," imagine that, "and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now, abortion issue is a battle between truth and lies. It is a battle between good and evil. It's a battle, folks, between life and death. It's a battle between Christ, who is the truth, and Satan, who is not only a liar, but the father of all lies. And also, in the same verse, he's called, interesting, a murderer. How in the world can we get to the point where we have okayed it in our minds to murder over 61 million babies since 1973? Well, it first starts with us accepting a lie, and the father of all lies, who is a murderer, then, because we've accepted lies, we then can go on to worse sins. I want you to remind you of this, folks. There's tears in the presence of God over every unborn child destroyed, and celebration in the presence of Satan over every unborn child whose life is destroyed and taken before they even had a chance to be born. And the opponents of those of us that are pro-life, by the way, we call ourselves pro-life. They call us anti-abortion. Isn't it interesting how terminology becomes important in this game? We call ourselves pro-life because the opposite of being pro-life is to be pro-death. So they don't want us to be considered pro-life. They don't like that. They want us to be anti-abortion, and they want to be pro-choice. Well, excuse me, but 61 million babies weren't given a choice. They weren't given a choice. So if you're pro-choice, Ronald Reagan is famous for making this, for this quote. He said, one of the things that interests me is this: every person I've ever met that's for abortion has already been born. Think about that. Okay, so we're going to expose the lies of the devil this morning, and we're going to give you a Bible answer for the five lies that paved the way to murder. You see, the only way that America could accept this, the only way that as Americans we can sleep at night while this is going on, is the devil had to convince us of five lies and tell us that these lies are the truth. The only problem with lies are is when you open the Word of God, it shines a bright light upon lies and exposes them for what they are, because no lie can stand in the face of truth. And so what are the five lies that Americans believed, or at least some Americans believed, that allowed us to accept the idea of killing unborn babies in our country? Number one, lie number one. They'll tell you an unborn baby is not a human being. They're not a person. They came up with a little term called fetus. And that way, when somebody is having an abortion, they're just having a fetus removed from them, the same way you would have your appendix removed or your wisdom teeth pulled. My goodness sakes, what a lie. What a lie. An unborn baby is not a human being. An unborn baby is not a person. The Bible exposes this as a lie. In Jeremiah chapter 1, God was speaking to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. The Bible talks about and tells us in this portion of Scripture that God is the one that forms each and every baby as they grow in their mother's womb. Not only did he form them, he said, I knew thee. Not I knew it, I knew thee. I don't know how the world chooses to view an unborn baby, but God views it as a person. And he said, before you even came out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet to the nations. He said, while I was still forming you in your mother's womb, I was forming you to accomplish specific purposes on this earth. And you think about that. Medical science exposes this as a lie also. Not only does the Bible expose it as a lie, life begins at conception according to the Word of God. God is active in the formation of a baby in its womb. Sanctification happens before birth. In other words, God sets that young person apart, that baby apart. He's got a plan for his life. Ordination happens before the birth. And that young child that they want to call a fetus is destined to accomplish something for God in this life, in this world. And yet that baby never has a chance to realize the life that God has given it. Medical science exposes this as a lie also. The heart is beating 14 to 18 days after conception. Brain waves are measurable as early as 6 weeks after fertilization. Most abortions are done at or after 9 weeks. The RU486 chemical abortions cannot be done until after 6 weeks. Listen, folks, it's inarguable that an abortion stops a beating heart and destroys an active mind. That is a person inside of that woman. That's a person inside of that woman. She says, well, it's my body. And this is the defense that they're going to have. Number two, every woman has a right to choose to abort her baby since the baby is in her body. And she says, if you're telling me what I can or can't do with my body, you are desecrating my rights. Now, folks, my goodness sakes, there is another body involved here that should have rights also. That logic is so backwards. I mean, it doesn't even make logical sense. So you want us to respect the rights you have to control your body, and yet you're killing a body while you're doing it and not respecting that child's right. This thinking is the result. Let me kind of just give you a broader view for a minute. What's the Bible say? This thinking is the result of the loss of natural affection. The loss of natural affection. Think about that. Every woman has a right to choose to abort her baby since it's in her body. Well, the Bible says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. That's the first sin that's listed, and every other sin comes from that first sin. Lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And then it says this, without natural affection. The word, the little phrase there, natural affection, is talking about an affection of family, an affection of a mother or a father for their children, without natural affection. The destruction of love, a natural love that ought to be in the heart of every mother towards her child and every father towards her child. There's not a mother in here that's carried a baby that will not tell you from the moment that she knew that that baby was inside of her, whether she could explain it or not, whether it makes sense or not, she loved that baby. That is a natural affection. And yet now we have become so self-centered and so selfish and such in love with ourselves that we see children in a different light. Children now are viewed as a threat to our independence, a burden that we must bear, something that could inconvenience what we want to be and what we want to do. And so the loss of natural affection, we see this, and we read horrific stories in the newspaper of mothers that are birthing babies and abandoning those babies, some of them killing those babies. And I think to myself, how can a mother? You think if there's anybody that ought to be fighting to protect that baby, it ought to be the mother. I mean, folks, go out and just go into nature. I mean, just study animals. I mean, good night. A mother bear will die in defense of her cubs. And yet a human has lost natural affection. This thinking is the result of extreme selfishness. Someone else's death, think about this, someone else's death is better than me being inconvenienced. They ran a poll, and they asked women to answer the question, who have had an abortion? Why did you have the abortion? Number one, unready for responsibility. I didn't feel like I was ready for the responsibility of it. Okay, all right. So the answer is kill the baby because you and Jay engaged in activity that you knew could produce a child, but you are unready for the responsibility of it. Number two, can't afford a baby. So you kill the baby because you can't afford it? A baby would change my life. Well, I'll give you that. I think all the women would say amen. But folks, it changes the life in a wonderful way, a sweet way, a blessed way. The fourth reason, relationship issues. In other words, a baby would ruin my relationship. What they're usually talking about when they say that is the relationship with the man who impregnated them. Well, excuse me, but if you are with somebody that wants to use you in that way, but then doesn't want to have the responsibility of a child, you need to get out of that relationship. Feels too immature, has enough children, or other reasons. Now, folks, this thinking is the result of the desire to have, listen to this, this thinking is a result of the desire to have, listen to this, sin without consequence. I want to engage in sin without consequence. I want to sleep around, and I don't want it to have to cost me anything. Or I want to be married, and I want to enjoy the marital relationship, but if it comes to the point where a baby could alter our plans, we just killed the child. Now, when it's said out loud like that, good night, how in the world can't somebody stop and take a step back and look at this thing from even a logical point of view, if not a biblical point of view? The place to take care of sin is at the throne of grace. And think about this. Abortion does not erase the consequences of the original sin. It increases consequences because now not only have you engaged in activity outside of marriage that's created a child, now you want to murder it. So now you have two things to stand guilty before God instead of one. So number one lie, an unborn baby is not a human being or a person. Number two, every woman has a right to choose to abort her baby since the baby is in her body. It may be in your body, but it is not your body. Okay, number three, another argument that they gave. It is better to abort a baby than to see it born unwanted, poor, or into a potentially abusive situation. It is better to abort a baby than to see it born unwanted, poor, or into a potentially abusive situation. Now, folks, listen to me. There's no baby that would be born in the United States of America that would be unwanted. It may not be wanted by you, but I promise you, all across this nation, there are parents that are looking for opportunities to adopt babies. And so that child that's born would not be unwanted. I mean, we have American families that are now going to they're getting in airplanes and flying halfway across around the world for an opportunity to try to adopt a child. And again, it may be a situation where a young woman has a baby and maybe she isn't ready for the responsibility and maybe she is too immature. Maybe there's other factors, but good night. The answer is not to kill the baby. There are good couples that are looking for opportunities to adopt all across the United States. So the argument of we have to abort, it's better to abort than to see them born unwanted, is ridiculous. Now think about this next one, poor. It's better to abort a baby than to see it born poor? Excuse me? Okay, so the cure for poverty, we end poverty by killing poor children? And by the way, can I just say something out loud? What's wrong with being poor? Why is that such a bad thing in America? Okay, excuse me, but my dad was born into a poor family. How many of you were born into a poor family? You should have all been aborted. By the way, listen, I know there's pros and cons to everything, okay? But I'm telling you, there's a lot of pros into being born into a poor family. There's a lot of things you're not going to take for granted in life. There's a lot of things you're going to have to, listen, you're not going to get handed to you. There's some things you're going to have to learn to overcome. Why in the world would they say, think about this, it is better to abort a baby than to see it born poor? What a ridiculous, ridiculous argument, okay? Or this one, or into a potentially abusive situation. So we don't know for sure whether they're going to be born into a abusive situation, but it's better to abort the child. Think about this. It's better to kill and murder the child than to have it born and potentially be abused. Now, again, this doesn't even make sense. The cure for potential child abuse should not be premature death or of a potential victim. If I use the same logic to in all of us in here and say, well, you know what? All of us in this room are potential victims of something. So rather than allow you to live your life and maybe potentially become a victim of something, it'd be better just to kill you now. And yet these folks, they rattle these excuses off one right after another, and they're, you know, sitting there in front of Oprah Winfrey or Dr. Phil, and everybody in there is bobbleheading this and saying, oh, yeah, yeah. And somebody needs to stand up and say, speak the truth. Those are lies. They're not just lies. They're ridiculous lies. Okay, so an unborn baby is not a human being. Give me a break. You know, it's amazing, folks. We'll go into our court systems, and a lady will have been killed in a car accident by a drunk, and that man, they'll charge them with 2 counts of manslaughter. Why is it that it's a baby here and it's not, it's a person here and it's not a person here? Okay, every woman has a right to choose to abort her baby since the baby is in her body. It's in your body, but it's not your body. Hey, you walk in there and you come out and you're fine. But the body of another human being paid the price. Number three, it is better to abort a baby than see it born unwanted, poor, or into a potentially abusive situation. Folks, abortion is the ultimate child abuse. Number four, abortion should be legal because women were dying from botched attempts to end their pregnancies in back alley, non-regulated facilities. Those of you who were born, were alive during the early 70s and old enough to remember when this big battle was going on, and all of the feminists and the women libbers and the humanists were all out there, and they were protesting, and they were demanding abortion become legalized, and they would all walk up, all be holding up their posters, and they would be holding up coat hangers. And I'm not going to get into that. I understand we've got the crowd we have. But abortion should be legal because women were dying from botched attempts to end their pregnancies in back alley, non-regulated facilities. And they would bring these sad stories, and this lady didn't want her baby. And so she went to this unregulated facility, and she was irreparably damaged or lost her life. Now listen to me. The year before abortion was legalized, which happened in 1973. So in 1972, 39 women died from illegal abortions. 39 women died from illegal abortions. 39. So to save 39 lives, let's kill 3,500 babies every day. Okay, now, let me just speak very plainly. In 1972, it was illegal. It was a criminal act to kill your unborn child. And it should have been a criminal act to kill an unborn child. It's still a criminal act, a crime in the eyes of God. It may not be a crime in the eyes of our government, but our government's messed up in a lot of areas. It was a criminal act to murder your unborn child. Okay, now stay with me. These deaths, these 39 women who died, these deaths were the result of a criminal choice, a choice to be involved in a criminal act against their unborn child. The mother or other relatives that were seeking an illegal abortion were involved in this criminal activity. The doctor or abortionist who performed it was involved in an illegal activity. And the result of being involved, stay with me, in an illegal activity was that they died. In 1972, it was also illegal to rob a bank. If you chose to take a gun and walk in and rob a bank, and somebody shot you, nobody was crying about it. If you shot a teller so that you could rob a bank, and then walked out and a policeman shot you, you know what everybody said? Come on, I'm sorry. What would they say? Got what he deserved. Say, oh, you're so uncompassionate. No, excuse me, you're uncompassionate. You say, let's kill 3,500 unborn babies every day to save 39 women who chose to involve themselves in a criminal act of killing their children, and it didn't go well for them. Don't tell me I'm uncompassionate. Okay? But what happened? America fell for the lie. We were told that the way to stop back alley casualties was to decriminalize the activity. We should never have decriminalized the killing of unborn children. Every one of those mothers had other options. Instead, they chose to break the law and seek to destroy their unborn child. Some, in doing so, destroyed their own lives. Okay, so again, the argument that we've got to save all these women, 39 women in the year before 1973 versus 3,500 unborn babies every day, that's ridiculous. Because those unborn babies are innocent. And those 39 women chose to involve themselves in criminal activity. Number five, abortion should be an option for those carrying a baby that is potentially disabled, deformed, or sick, or in cases that the woman's life is endangered, or in cases of rape or incest. So again, the argument is three parts here. Well, preacher, if we outlaw an abortion in America, what about these situations? What about the situation of a baby that the doctor deems is potentially disabled, deformed, or sick? And I can't even begin to tell you, folks, how many times couples that I know personally have gone to the doctor early on in a pregnancy and the doctor throw red flags up and say, hey, this child may not be okay. And by the way, we need to make you aware that you do have an option here. Now, sometimes they're accurate in their diagnosis. But listen to what I'm going to say next. They are overwhelmingly inaccurate in their diagnosis. Don't think that there isn't an agenda going on. But you were told that, Brother Bud, about Amelia, wasn't you? All right. And boy, you know, you guys need to take a look at this. And as Christian parents, you know what they said? They understood these Bible principles. They understood that God was forming their baby in the womb, and God was creating her to be whoever he wanted her to be. Now, I want you to look up here a minute, folks, because to me, I want you, you know, I want to just kind of challenge some thinking here, and I understand. Hey, is it going to be a boy or a girl? Well, we don't care if it's a boy or a girl as long as it's healthy. I understand why every parent would say this. But a lot of times when we say healthy, we mean normal. Okay? Folks, listen to me. Some of the greatest blessings that we have at Blessed Hope Baptist Church are the folks that come in here that the world would not deem either physically or mentally normal. Yet God chose to make them. Listen, a special needs child is not a curse. It's not something that needs to be killed. It's not a burden. It's a blessing. He or she is a blessing. Mom and Dad Whittington, you know, some of you know this, some of you don't. But my wife had a little brother that was born both physically and mentally handicapped. And Todd was the delight of that family. I mean, the delight of that family. Was he some extra work? Come on, those of you that are, you know, yes. 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 Did so they were burdened. You go tell Mom and Dad Whittington that they were burdened. Just step back before you say it, because you're probably going to get slapped. They don't look at it as a burden. They look at it as a blessing. You know, little Mark that comes in here almost every single Sunday. If a doctor would have had their way, we wouldn't be picking him up on the bus. But because they don't deem him as normal, then let's just kill him. Because again, it's all about us, isn't it? It's all about selfishness. It's all about self-love. It's all about preserving our lives. No. God chooses some things. And you know what? If God chooses it, then that child has the potential to be a great blessing to that family. I believe this. I believe not only my wife, but I believe every member of my wife's family that helped raise Todd have a level of compassion for people that I honestly can't even hardly touch the hem of the garment of. God uses these people in the families in which they're born to create some things in them so that they can have greater purpose and be a greater help to others. Folks, listen, these are God's ways. I don't have to understand them, but I shouldn't question them. And so the idea that abortion should be an option for those carrying a baby that, again, is potentially disabled, deformed, or sick, or even if it's confirmed that it is, we don't kill a child. We trust the Lord. Or in cases that the woman's life is in danger. Now, let me just stop there. Women facing a high-risk pregnancy should receive optimum care and take every precaution. I want to tell you the honest truth is, they like to tout this, but run the numbers. In modern medical field, it is such a rarity in this day and age. I understand 150 years ago it was different, but in today's medical field, it is such a rarity that a doctor ever has to make a choice between the life of the child and the life of a mother. I mean, I know of no cases, and I'm around people, around preachers, in hospitals. I know of no cases where it came down to we can either save the baby or we can save the mother. I understand there were times where we didn't have the advantages we have. But in this day and age, this is a mute argument for the most part. But wait a minute. Women facing a high-risk pregnancy should receive optimum care and take every precaution. She should also trust the Lord to care for both herself and her baby. Well, think about this. A mother's heart is a heart that protects her child at any cost, not kill her child because of a potential risk to herself. Again, we're back to natural affection. Good night. A mom's going to love the baby. A mom's going to want the baby to live. What if, and a preacher, we get this third one, though, sexual assault. What if the baby is the result of rape or incest, some sexual assault. And by the way, sexual assault is a horrible crime. I just want to go on record as saying that. If I had my way, it would be a death penalty crime. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yep. Telling you Jerry Ross's opinion. Yep. I believe if somebody crosses that line, then hey, you know, Jesus said it's better that a millstone was put around their neck and tossed into the sea. I'll provide the boat. I'll find a millstone. I just need a short rope. I'll be back in an hour. Yes, and I'll sleep fine that night. Amen. If that man is guilty of what we're talking about right here. See, that's hard. Well, then Jesus was hard. Yes, okay. The perpetrator of such a crime should be punished to the full extent of the law. And again, I've told you my opinion, what I think the full extent ought to be. The victim of that crime is just that, a victim. And I'm going to tell you this because I don't know how far to get into this, but you know, me and my wife through the years have dealt with, and I wish it wasn't true, but folks, this is such a prevalent thing going on in society today. We have dealt literally counseling and trying to help, I mean, scores of women that's gone through some type of abuse, rape, incest, horrible things, horrible things. One of the first things I need to establish with that
young lady, is this. You are a victim. You know what's crazy about this sin and this crime? The victim carries guilt, and the perpetrator usually doesn't feel any guilt. First thing I need to establish, listen, you are a victim. Yeah, but no, listen to me. You are a victim. Victim, okay? The victim of that crime is just that, a victim. Now think about this. Perpetrator, let's take him off and I'll take him on a ride on a boat, okay? Now we've got to deal with the victim. Now, you're telling me that I should encourage that victim who's been a victim of a crime to then victimize the child she's carrying? That's going to compound the trauma, not fix it. Now the woman has to deal with the emotional ramifications of the initial assault as well as the lifelong guilt she will endure by destroying the child. And again, well, I don't feel like I can raise this child. All right, then there's all kinds of couples out there. I get it. Folks, I'm for adoption. I'm not for abortion. Okay? But good night. I've listened to, and you can listen to these online, but James Dobson ran a series where he interviewed grown adults who were the result of incest and rape, as far as that's how they came into this world. Some of their mothers kept them and raised them. Some of them adopted them out. But I mean, there was a whole week or two of interviews from these type of folks that said, let me tell you what I'm doing with my life. By the way, I'm a born-again Christian. And by the way, I'm doing this good and that good and this good, and I'm sure glad my mom decided that all life was sacred. Look right up here. Preacher, I'll be honest with you right now. I'm struggling with this. It's okay. It's okay. I'm not judging you. I'm not looking down at you. I'm just telling you, if we're going to stand for life, we've got to understand that even though the crime, and we've already separated that crime, is horrific, that's still a life that God has a purpose for and can use to do something. And so be careful that you don't jump on that bandwagon, okay? Now, preacher, we've looked at the five lies that paved the way for murder. What is the truth about abortion? What does the Bible specifically state about abortion? Well, you're going to have to come back tonight. Because I wanted to cover this introduction and I didn't want to hurry through it. Remember this, and we're done. The devil's a liar. Yes, sir. The way he can get us to join him in being a murderer is to join him in believing the lies that he spun. Here's the five lies. An unborn baby is not a human being, a person. That is a lie. The Bible exposes it as being a lie. Every woman has to choose the right to abort her baby since it's her body. That is a lie. It's not your body. It's the baby's body that you're destroying. Number three, it is better to abort a baby than to see it born unwanted, poor, or into a potentially abusive situation. Not only is that a lie, that is a stupid lie. Number three, abortion should be legal because women were dying from botched attempts to end their pregnancies in back alley, non-regulated facilities. So women who were bent on murdering their unborn baby died. And because of that, let's legalize the murdering of unborn babies. All right, number five, abortion should be an option for those carrying a baby that's potentially disabled, deformed, or sick, or in cases the woman's life is endangered, or in cases of rape and incest. And again, I think we've answered that. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to embrace the truth. Thank you for the Bible. Jesus said, the truth will set you free. He said the devil's a liar and the father of lies. By the way, he's also a murderer. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to use the word of God to separate fact from fiction, lies from truth. Lord, that we would stand where we ought to stand on this. Lord, in some ways I'm excited because I feel like that we are close in America, probably closest we've ever been since 1973, of seeing, potentially seeing, Roe versus Wade overturned in our Supreme Court. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would give our politicians and you would give our judges and you would give our representatives the courage that it would take to revisit this issue. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to understand the truth, to know how to answer people that propagate the lies. And that, Lord, we would continue to pray for the end of this silent holocaust that is happening in the United States of America every single day. Lord, we pray and ask, dear God, that this horrific crime would stop in our country, that we'd come to our senses. And Lord, tonight, as we open the Word of God, we see the consequences that await a country that turns a blind eye to this, that it would move us, Lord, to prayer. And it would move us to, Lord, vote. To this fall, to go and vote out those who would propagate the murder of unborn babies and vote into office those that are bent on protecting the unborn. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us in Jesus' name.